Okay. Has everybody greeted everybody? Hallelujah. Good. So our first time visitor, ek verstaan as een persoon agter, baie welkom. Hoop en vertrou jy voel tuis hier. Let's just open up in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can get together as your children. Lord, we are human beings. We have weaknesses, we have issues, we have failures. And I thank you, Lord God, that in spite of all of this, you still love us unconditionally. And this morning, Lord God, we make ourselves available in these next few minutes for you, Holy Spirit, to speak into our hearts. We pray, Lord God, that you move beyond the limitations of my speech and you give to each person exactly what we need to hear this morning. And Lord, we're not here to play church or to do religious things. We're here because we want to change, we want to grow, and to be challenged, Lord, to be encouraged also by your word. So I thank you that you see beyond our smiles, beyond our frowns, beyond our outward appearance, and you see deep down inside our hearts to who we really are inside. And I pray, Lord God, that you minister your life and your power to each person here this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We've been speaking about position, potential, and purpose. Just to recap what we discussed last week, we discussed the concept of how to live a better life in South Africa. Two simple steps. Number one, coming to terms with the challenges that we have. And coming to terms could mean just stop complaining. Stop complaining and be positive. And the second step was making a positive contribution. Making a positive contribution, for example, filling potholes with tar that gets donated. That's the positive way. I believe that's one of the ways that we can be practical. We looked at last week that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just telling people about Jesus. It's making a positive difference somehow, somewhere along the line. So those are two easy steps to living a better life in South Africa. This morning, what I'd like to focus on for a few minutes is the theme that we're looking at is position, potential, and purpose. Position, I want to say this morning, is positioning ourselves, getting ourselves in a place in our minds where we can actually grow in the Lord. And the scripture that I want to give you for that this morning, to lay a foundation, from James chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. What's interesting is that this is Jesus' stepbrother, and he's speaking to the church. He's not speaking to the unsaved, he's speaking to the church. And there were unsaved people there as well, obviously. And he says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. What a challenge. He says, purify your hearts. Wash your hands, you sinners, because your loyalty in your heart is divided between God and the world. So if the scripture says, come to God, how do you come to God? How do you draw close to a being who's omnipresent? Because hy is alomteenwoordig, is it nie so nie? So how can you come close to God who's everywhere anyway? What does it mean to come close to God? And what does it mean having a divided heart? I want to look at those two aspects just briefly this morning. Now as the pastor, I'm not able to fully demonstrate to you the magnitude and the power and the awesomeness of just who God is. I'm not able to do that. Only God can do that. God can give me such an amazing sermon, and he could anoint me so that I preach like Angel Gabriel, but it's still not going to be able to fully demonstrate to you the power and the awesomeness of who God is. Only he can do that. And I believe what God is saying to us is position yourself, get your heart and your mind in a place where you can see him for who he really is. I can't do that for you. So many people come with an expectation to church, and it's good. We must have an expectation that God is going to do something. But so many people have an unrealistic expectation on the pastor. Vandag, hey, daai ou moet vir my iets gee, anders is ek op. If you come to church with that expectation, sorry, but I'm going to disappoint you. You're very quiet. Nobody's saying amen. If you come with the expectation that I am going to do something that's going to enhance or change your life, please stop that. Stop that. Stop that. I can't do that for you. I can't do that for you. Only God can do that for you. But folks, we have to place ourselves in a position where we can receive that from God. Now we're going to look at what that means to place yourself in that position. I'm going to explain it to you as best as I can this morning with the help of God. The first thing to do is to understand the importance of Christian fellowship and coming to church. Please don't believe the lie that anybody tells you, die Bible sê nie, jy moet kerk toe gaan. I'm going to show you this morning that it does. The Bible does say you must come to church. Okay, so I'm going to give you some scriptures quickly. They should just come up on there. Just write down chapter and verse and you can meditate it on your own. But just quickly, this is about Jesus and what he did. Luke 4 and verse 16. It says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual. There's the key. He went as usual. It's something that Jesus did regularly. He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. So it was something that Jesus regularly did. He went to the synagogue. And this is not a synagogue, but there's the principle. In Acts 2 and verse 46, it says, they worshipped together at the temple each day. How often did they do it? So there's a guideline. That doesn't mean we must come to church every day, but this is what they did. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. We've just done that. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Now that we do. We share our braais with great joy and generosity. Ons braai graag, ons kuier vreedsaam. And that's great. But that's what they did. But folks, I believe there was a higher purpose for their getting together. And we're going to see that in a couple of minutes. Acts 20 and verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, that was the Sunday. It was the first day, not the Monday. The first day of that calendar there, the first day of their week, they gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Today it's a little bit easier. We can send encouragement to each other by text. It's okay and it has its place, but nothing makes up for this. Nothing makes up for this. This something special happens when we get together. And the scripture says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. So don't stop getting together. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So there's a whole lot of scriptures that teaches you the principle and the importance of getting together. Part and parcel of positioning yourself to grow is getting together for regular Christian fellowship. But folks, getting together, I've shared these verses with you to illustrate this point. Dis belangrik om by mekaar te kom. Ons moet dit doen. But getting together alone is not going to do it. Getting together alone is not going to ensure that we grow spiritually. Because if we get together and all we do is complain, ons gaan nie groei nie, julle. We're going to make each other negative. You're going to come there and you're going to be so positive and opgecharged and excited and all you're going to have is one broer of een sister. Jy vra hoe gaan dit? Oh, nee. Arm maar darm. Dear Lord Jesus, hoekom spreek jy dit uit oor jouself? Arm maar darm. Kyk, daar's dood en lewe in die krag van die tong. And if you keep speaking that over yourself, raai wat gaan jy wees? Arm maar darm. So our getting together is not in itself going to cause us to grow spiritually. We're going to have to get together with a purpose. And get together, yes, it is, it's lekker to visit together, it is. In some people's company you enjoy, some people's company you don't enjoy. My encouragement to you when it comes to Christian activities, do what I call selective fellowship. Selective fellowship. Don't hang around with the people that you just got to tolerate. Hang around with people that lift you up and that edify you and that build you up. Hang around with the people that can encourage you and support you in your walk. Not just people that are... There are sommige mense, you can freely ask them, how's it going? And they're going to have some positive report and they'll be going through challenges and they'll tell you, you know what, I've had this and this difficulty, but God is good. And then there's other people, you just don't want to ask them how's it going. Jy wil nie hoor nie, because as jy eers vra, nee, pastoor, nie, en daai en hierdie klagte, dis klagte na klagte na klagte. So, our mere coming together is not just going to cause us to grow. Something, there needs to be a bigger purpose for us getting together. And I believe that was one of the ingredients in the early church when they got together. They came together with a purpose. And there was a specific goal in mind when they got together. We need to come together for a specific purpose. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, there's two aspects of that verse that I just want to look at. It says, God, it's not me. It's teething issues. Close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Two aspects, coming close. Drawing near to God means the following. We said, how do you draw near to a being that's omnipresent anyway? Drawing near to God means having an attitude in my heart that I want to grow. Don't just do all this Christian fellowship because you think it's the important thing to do or something that you have to do. Please don't come to church because you think or you're concerned that somebody's going to give you a phone call and hulle gaan by jou hoor, waar was jy? Ek het jou nie Sondag gesien nie. That's not the purpose. In your mind and in your heart, when you come to church, have the attitude that I'm coming to church to grow. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to move from where I'm at in my life. I want to receive something from God so that I can apply to my life and it can change the way I live and it can change my life. Folks, I believe in essence, that's what it means to come close to God. To draw near to God is have an attitude in your heart. I want to grow. I don't know who said it, but it's very important and significant. Don't be goal-orientated. Be growth-orientated. It might have been John Maxwell. Because if you're goal-orientated, you're going to set a goal, you're going to achieve it, and then what? But if you're growth-orientated, if you're growth mindset, you're always going to have to say, I need to grow and mature and develop. So, where you're at spiritually now, is it different from where you were at a year ago? It should be. Because why are we coming to church then? Yeah, I come back because the wife says I must. Or maybe I come to church because my kids are nagging me. Mommy, Daddy, we want to go to Bikers Church. We want to go to children. Maybe yeah, because your kids have dragged you here. Well, it's a start. It's a start. But folks, the importance of us getting together is with this in mind. Yes, we can. It's fine to talk about things that affect us as people. And ons is maar op die einde van die dag net mense. Is dit nie so nie? But we're not just people. We're people in whom God lives. That makes us kind of special. Kind of different. The Bible says so. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 talks about us being His own special people. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. We're not just human. We're human beings in whom God lives. So when we get together, we must have that mindset and that attitude. Get together to grow. That's why we have things in the week that we call care groups or home cells or connect groups or whatever you want to call it. We decided to change the name to have the focus and the emphasis on caring for each other. Not to give you something extra to do. Oh, dan nog net nog 'n kerk ding in die week wat ek moet bywoon. Ag gee wat, kom ons gaan maar. No, have a mindset, I go there with a purpose to grow. I go there with a purpose to do life together, to rub shoulders with men and women like me that are going through real challenges and difficulties on a daily basis. I come with an attitude to grow, not just to grow, but to receive. But to receive. Not just to receive and to grow, but to give is the point. Don't go there with an attitude just to receive, but to give. What's a positive bydra kan ek maak? I've got something that I can give. My encouragement, my story, even if it's just a smile. Het niks anders op belangriks om te sê nie. Glimlag. Is that okay? Can we try that now? Just smile. Just do that. Just your positive contribution can help. That's the reason we get together. So, coming close to God means having an attitude of wanting to grow. A mindset in my heart of wanting to grow is the first point. Okay. Then, so in other words, our hearts must be positioned for growth. The other aspect of James 4 and verse 8 is having divided loyalty in our heart. Now this one is a little bit more difficult. Having divided loyalty in our heart. In the NLT of verse 8 of James chapter 4, it says, "For your loyalty is divided between God and the world." What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you don't believe in God. It doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus. But your heart tugs and yearns and longs for more than just God. If your heart is tugging and yearning and longing for more than just God, if your sense of fulfillment at the end of the day is made up of more than just what God can do for you, that's what it means when we have a divided heart in terms of the loyalty of our heart, having a divided heart. What are the things that can keep our heart divided? What are the things can keep our, like I said, it's got nothing to do with what you do or do not believe. It's got to do with the things that you yearn for, the cravings that you have, the desires that you have. In Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 20, Jesus shares a parable of the sower. And he describes a sower sowing seed and the different types of ground and soil that the soil, that the seed falls on. And he's speaking about the different conditions of men's hearts. And it has been said that God builds his kingdom on the condition of man's heart. If I'm here today and I'm so upset and preoccupied with a difficult week that I've had, I've had a week from hell, and I'm sitting here and all I'm thinking about is, what kind of salad has she prepared for lunch, and is the pup going to be ready, and is the meat been in the marinade long enough, and I've tried all these different kinds of bait and I still didn't catch anything yesterday, and all the troubles that are, the condition of your heart, no matter, Jesus can pitch up personally and preach a sermon to you. If your heart is like that, daar gaan nie veel gebeur nie, hoor. Daar gaan nie veel gebeur nie, because of the condition of your heart. So if I'm sitting here and I just have this attitude that I'm closed to the things of God, and no matter what, who says, I'm just not going to receive anything today, because if you're sitting like that, folks, like I said, even if Jesus pitches himself here and preaches something, you're going to be like, whatever. That's how it's going to be. And he speaks about this in this parable. There's nothing wrong with the seed that is sown. And the sowers, him and the disciples and the people sharing the messages, but it's the condition of the people's hearts. He describes the different conditions. Some hearts are stony, some ground has thorns in it. And he says this in verse 19, it says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful." These are the things that can cause us to have a divided heart and a heart that is not completely loyal to God. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in and choke the word and it becomes fruitful. I often have this conversation with people about time. People say, "Ek het net nie tyd nie." Do you know that that's a lie? I don't have time. That's a lie. You're deceived into thinking you don't have time. Because we make the time for that which is important to us. I'll give an example. People are busy, and I know they don't have the time to come to church. But I can say to those people, you have won the South African National Lottery of 187 million South African rand. You've won it. Yay! All you need to do is to come to church on Sunday to get the ticket. Guess what? Skielik is daar tyd om kerk toe te kom. Hello. Why? Because suddenly getting to church to get that lottery ticket becomes so very important. You have the same amount of seconds, the same amount of minutes, the same amount of hour in each day to do what is important to you. So that thing of ek het nie tyd nie. And I sometimes catch myself saying that, but if I'm truthful with myself, I need to say, I haven't yet made the time to do whatever. I haven't made the time. Now, Mark, get me tight knee. Ek is te besig. Where do you find the time to study the word, to read? Well, it's got to become important enough to you. It's got to become important enough to you. So remember this. We make the time for that which is important to us, including regular fellowship. So there needs to be a desire in our heart to want to fellowship. And for us to have the desire to want to fellowship, we need to see the importance of it in the first place. And the importance of it is that we make a decision in our hearts to want to grow. The desires for other things Jesus speaks of there can draw us away from the things that can lead to our growth and our maturing as Christians. It speaks of the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. What are the cares of this world? The cares of this world could possibly be described as anything of little or no lasting significance that keeps us overly occupied or unnecessarily busy. Dis 'n hele mondvol, maar luister net hierso. The cares of this world can be described as anything of little or no lasting significance that keeps us overly occupied or onnodiglik besig. Halleluja. Prys die Here vir daai taal. Enige iets wat jou so besig hou, maar is van geen significance nie. Dis geen belang nie. Nou, here's the deal. Is there any heavenly significance in me mowing my lawn? No. But it's important so that it doesn't look like the Amazon jungle. I got to find my kids or my dog in the yard somewhere because it's overgrown with whatever. It has no heavenly significance that the lawn is mowed or whatever, or my bike is clean. It's not going to make, but I'm honoring God by being a good steward of one of my possessions, isn't it so? So I've got to make the time to do that. But if I become overly busy with things that are of little or no significance, those are the cares of this world. En mense, daar's baie sorge daar buite, isn't it so nie? Mothers, if you're a household, don't let anybody tell you unemployed. You're a home executive. And you have to manage that home and create an environment and turn a house into a home because of your heart, and an environment that is conducive to your children to flourish and your husband to flourish as a man of God. That's an important task. And you think of how you have to plan and manage your day. Daar's baie sorge. There's lots of cares. But those things, the cares of this world, can trap you up to the point where your heart is at a place where you will not grow. Your heart has to be willing and receptive to receive the Word of God and apply the Word of God. That's what it means when you say, position yourself for growth. So the cares of this world is anything of no lasting significance that keeps us overly occupied or unnecessarily busy. Those are the cares of this world. And the dangers of these cares is that they're not necessarily sinful issues. That's the danger. They're not necessarily sinful issues. For example, is social media evil from the devil? Is Facebook from the devil? Some people are saying yes. No, I don't think so. But if you waste your time on social media, you're going to be distracted to the point where all that you're thinking about is how many likes you've got, people's comments on this, and your kop gaan besig wees met all hierdie nonsense instead of having a place, coming to a place in your heart and in your mind where you can just receive something from the Lord. Social media, it's like TV. Is TV from the devil? Some people, yes, you would have cast the devils out. No, it's not, but it's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. So the challenge with the cares of this world is that these things are not necessarily something that you perceive as sinful. It's just a distraction. It's taking away time that you could be using positively and more constructively elsewhere. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So it speaks about the weight and sin. It differentiates. So these are weights that just slow you down. That's the challenge with the cares of this world. It's not necessarily a sinful issue, but something that just distracts you. The next thing, that thing that Mark 4:19 speaks about is the deceitfulness of riches. How do riches, how do they become deceitful? Is it wrong to have stuff of value? Some of you are not sure. Well, let me just describe an aspect of God to you that perhaps you're not too familiar with. God is the best God by far. That's His nature. God is not a God of mediocrity. Second, third, fourth, fifth best. That's not who He is. God is the best God by far. Daarom vir jou wil hy net die beste hê. God wants His best for you. God wants you to have the best. God wants you to have good things. He just doesn't want the good things having you. So riches is not from the devil. It's not from the devil. But when a possession becomes deceitful, that's when it's problematic. How does it become deceitful? For example, when any earthly possession, when there's an expectancy in your heart, once again, it's the heart issue. When there's an expectancy in your heart that that earthly possession can do what only God can do, then it's deceitful. For example, there's this phenomenon I heard again this week called retail therapy. Retail therapy. Jy voel bietjie down en depro en af. So dan dink jy, ah, kom ek sla die shops, dan koop ek iets vir myself, dan gaan ek beter voel. Now think about it. We might laugh about it. But if your emotional well-being is dependent on you buying something, I think that could become problematic. Do you agree with me? Listen, there's nothing wrong with feeling good about getting something lekker. It's okay. But if you are totally dependent on retail therapy or that's the thing. Comfort food. Comfort food. People have heard me talk about meat as mood food. Because if you deprive a man of his meat, he most certainly does not get sick. He gets moody. Hy's knorrerig en brommerig totdat hy vleis geëet het. And I'm not knocking anybody. I also eat meat, hello. But if you're feeling bad and down and out, then you've got to settle a whole chocolate cake all on your own to feel better. Folks, there's an issue with that. There's an issue with that. So that's how riches can become deceitful. If you think that any material possession can do for you what only God can do for you, that can become problematic. That can become problematic. So if we let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things creep in, Jesus said, it chokes the seed of the word and then it's not fruitful in our lives. So this morning, when we speak about positioning your heart and your life for growth, is having this mindset. I get together with a purpose. Yes, it's lekker to see my buddy, my sister, and we enjoy each other's company, and there's people that you just get on well with, and the conversation flows, and it's easy, and it's just natural. That's all lekker. But the purpose is to grow. The purpose is to grow. Proverbs speaks about, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of each other. On slaap mekaar. We speak into each other's lives. We challenge each other. We love each other to the point where we can speak on issues that perhaps you need to have somebody in your life that loves you enough to ask you the questions that you don't want to answer. Does that make sense? You need to have somebody in your life that loves you enough that he'll ask you the questions that you don't want to answer. And he'll put his finger on the things in your life that need change. Let's just call it that. That's what it's about. And then not having a divided heart. That's where the loyalties in my heart are towards other things. The scripture says that where your treasure lies, there your heart will be also. Dion spoke about it this morning. So, in your heart or your mind, what are you thinking about most of the time? Just think about that for a few moments. What consumes your thoughts most of the time? Think about that. And then ask yourself, so what's the condition of my heart? Where's my heart when it comes to that? Now understand, you know, I've tried this many, many times as a growing Christian. I've tried to think about the Lord all the time. How many of you have got that right? Yekani, you can't. Even when I'm praying, even when I'm feeling super spiritual, I'm praying. Kort, my gedagtes wake off. And they dwell on all sorts of things. And I've got to, with my will, which is in my spirit, I make a decision to exercise my mind to bring my thoughts back in line and focus on the things of God. And this is a daily challenge, isn't it? It's makkelijk to become distracted. That's why it's important to ons moet in ag neem what we spend most of our time seeing and watching and reading and listening to. Because that's going to condition our heart. So, what are the things that are busy conditioning your heart in your life, where you are at? These are the things that will keep our hearts either at a place where we can grow and change and learn something and become more like Jesus, or have the word of insignificance in our lives. Riches are fine and possessions are fine as long as you don't expect them to do what only God can do. That's when they become deceitful. So in summary, as we close, being positioned for growth is having the mindset that the purpose of my fellowship, first of all, seeing that there's an importance for fellowship, and we get together for these reasons. That's why we get together, to be growth-minded. And then number two is not having a heart that where there's divided loyalty. Your heart must be loyal. I saw this picture this week of two brothers that had grown up in the same home, same parents, same values, same opportunities, same difficulties, same circumstances, two brothers. The one is imprisoned, has a criminal record longer than his arm, suspended sentences, all sorts of things, and the other is a successful family man and a successful businessman. Why? The one made his choice and the other one made their choice. That is why two people can come to a church service and the one afterwards can say, Mozzie, you spoke just to me this morning. How did you know that this? You spoke just to me. And the other person goes home in exactly the same way they came. Nothing's changed because of the condition of their hearts. So I ask you this morning, I wonder, what is the condition of our hearts? May God help us by His Spirit to get our lives and our hearts in a place. I do these Christian things, this Christian fellowship, for a purpose to grow. And then, Lord, may my heart be focused and loyal to You. Would you close your eyes as we pray together? I want to pray for divided hearts this morning. Maybe you're at a place where the loyalties of your heart, and how do you test it? How do we test where our heart is at? Just simply be honest with yourself and think about the things that you focus on most of the time. Things that you think about, the things that you desire and long for all of the time. And if your heart is divided this morning, I can't fix that for you. God can. So I want to pray with you as I pray for myself this morning concerning that. As we come before the Lord and openly, honestly with ourselves, say, Father, we don't know what it takes. We can't fix the condition of the human heart, but You can. We ask You, God, in the name of Jesus, that by Your Spirit, You help us have a heart that is loyal to You and not divided, a heart that is not consumed by the distractions and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And Father, if we've done things ourselves that have caused us to have divided hearts, we ask that You forgive us right now. Be gracious to us, Lord, and have mercy upon us, Lord God, that we don't do this again. Father, we ask that by Your Spirit, You give us the strength to have hearts that that are loyal and devoted to you. And when distractions come, Lord, may we quickly recognize them for what it is. And Lord, the essence of what this message means, I pray that you help us to apply it on a daily basis. When we leave this building today and we live the rest of our lives between Sunday, help us, Lord God, to practically apply this to our lives. That we can recognize the distractions from the enemy and those things that are not necessarily issues of sin, but just weights that slow us down in our walk with you. Help us to recognize those things for what they are. And then, Lord, I pray for us that when we get together, we would use the time wisely. Lord, that your word encourages us, and it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is, family, to get together. We know that, Lord. And Father, help us to see the purpose of our fellowship together, that we grow, encourage each other, that we can a people that can make significant changes where we are in the places and the areas of responsibility that you give to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we worship the Lord together one more time? Pray that Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His peace this week in Jesus' name.